Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, everybody jump!
Ah, yes, good Wednesday morning to one and all. It is Taz and the Moose with you right here on CBS Sports Radio as we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. You've got Pete and Mike across the way, Bogish, with your updates as we take you at 9 a.m. Eastern Time. Next 3 hours right here on CBS Sports Radio. Number to call, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227.
Attention, hotline fans.
Going to be joined by Kim Jones, NFL Network, about 90 minutes from now, about 7:25 a.m. Eastern Time, 4:25 Pacific. So look forward to chatting with Kim. She was out in Indianapolis for the scouting combine all weekend long and did a fantastic job in helping out the NFL Network's great coverage of the event. Taz, and we get going here on this Wednesday morning with a little bit of a fallout from that scouting combine. And that is the comments from Charlie Casserly about Oklahoma quarterback Kyler Murray.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Casserly just verbally beat up Kyler Murray. I mean, with a lot of hearsay and chatter, which was like, wow, he really... it's a report, right? I mean, but is it a report? Like, he's not a reporter, Casserly, and I think that's a lot of the big scuttlebutt. It's like, you know, you're supposed to be an analyst, and you're over here giving, like, some kind of expose, and it's basically anonymous sources, if my sources are correct, as far as the internet's.
Right. Let's hear from Charlie.
That's my source.
Right. The former Redskins GM, the former Texans GM. He's been executive in the National Football League. Let's hear from Casserly on the NFL Network talking about Kyler Murray and Indy.
This was the worst comments I ever got on a high-rated quarterback.
Really?
And I've been doing this a long time. Leadership, not good. Okay, study habits, not good. The board work, below not good. Not good at all in any of those areas, see? And raising major concerns about what this guy's going to do. Now, people will say, well, we're going to compare him to Mahomes. We're going to run an offense like Mahomes. We're going to run an offense like Baker Mayfield. Well, you can, but those guys are much different. I mean, those guys, you never question about their ability on the board. You never question their leadership ability, their work habits. They were outstanding in those areas. This guy's not outstanding in those areas. It showed up in the interview.
Oh. Well, I mean, listen, Casserly's got no dog in the fight. I personally don't have an issue with what Casserly had to report. I mean, if teams and he's got connections in the National Football League, Taz, and Kyler Murray reportedly met with 10 teams, including the Arizona Cardinals, who own the number one overall pick, and if this is what some teams told him during the interview process, when they sat down and talked to him, you know, if you're not Charlie Casserly, are you not doing your job if you don't report it?
I get your point, but it's tough to report when it's it's the anonymous thing, right? It's the anonymous thing. If there's no name attached to it, so he's not a reporter. Like I said earlier, right? He's an analyst, as you know, and I understand his history and his credibility as GM with the Reds. I know the whole deal, right?
Sure.
And that's great, but it's a little bit tough, I think, for a lot of folks to swallow, including me. Because he's not putting a name on the team or the people that are telling him this, so it's borderline slander, in my opinion. If he's not giving names, it's anonymous like reporters do. So when an analyst does it, it comes off really bad, and it's kind of not your job. I mean, to do something like that, that's the big problem.
Okay, you know? We're going to define him into a role and say, well, he's an analyst, he's not a reporter. But if it was a reporter who did this, right, then it would not be that big of a deal?
No, I can't speak for other people.
To
me, it's a big deal. But I've done it on this show. Reporters put things out that are anonymous, and sometimes I say, look, man, I don't want to stick my teeth into that because we don't know if it's a fact because it's anonymous. And when players, I heard something from a guy in the locker room, and he said this about this guy, and he ripped this guy. Who was the guy who said it? Well, it's anonymous. Well, we could say that about anybody.
But I understand. But
I can make stuff up, too.
No. Listen, I get it. But, I mean, if you look historically speaking, I mean, there have been reports, I mean, that have been felonious, and there are reports that have been quite true when it comes down to anonymous sourcing, right?
Well, so absolutely.
It's a matter of a reporter or, say, in this instance, an analyst doing their due diligence and making sure that it is as truthful as it possibly can be. Because you're right. I mean, if you're Charlie Casserly, the last thing you want to put out there is something that is anywhere but
not the
truth in any way, shape, or form, right? So I get that. I understand. Now, I'm going to lean on the fact that Casserly is a well-respected NFL guy.
Right.
I'm going to lean on the fact that he's been a former executive. I'm going to lean on the fact that he's been a responsible, right, guy when it comes to these type of stories in the National Football League. He's not breaking stories. He's not Ian Rappaport. He's not Mike Garofolo. He's not Jason Lockenfora,
right.
Adam Schefter.
Right.
He's not Chris Mortensen. He's not one of these guys that are breaking stories on a week-in, week-out basis and telling you what's going on in the National Football League, what's the next step before anybody else knows, Taz. He's not doing that. However, you know, when you look at the scouting combine and you're Casserly and you have the connections that you do, and everyone's talking about Kyler Murray potentially going number one overall, and you hear something that is quite different, saying that, you know, his leadership qualities are not great. His board work was not great. The work ethic is not great. You know, how do you not report that?
Well, I get your point loud and clear. If that's all true, I'm with you. So let's talk about that for a second. I do think then, if you want to go that deep, for me, it's his delivery. He was indignant about it, almost like it was just a fact from these two teams he heard this from. And he completely torched the kid. I mean, he just torched him like he's doomed. He has no work ethic and no study habits, and he's not a leader. I mean, and the way he said it, it was like very indignant, aggressive, right in your face, like it's a fact. He didn't skirt it. He didn't put qualifiers on it. He didn't say, well, this is what I heard. You know, it's unfortunate. That maybe, you know, he didn't protect the kid on the other side. It was more of a hot take from anonymous sources, and it just came off very bad.
Well,
you know, it did.
But he's not giving his opinion. He's giving you what he heard. Let's hear from Casserly one more time.
Okay, yeah.
Play it, Pete.
Yeah,
let's hear it one more time.
This was the worst comments I ever got on a high-rated quarterback.
Really?
And I've been doing this a long time. Leadership, not good. Okay, study habits, not good. The board work, below not good. Not good at all in any of those areas, see? And raising major concerns about what this guy's going to do. Now, people will say, well, we're going to compare him to Mahomes. We're going to run an offense like Mahomes. We're going to run an offense like Baker Mayfield. Well, you can, but those guys are much different. I mean, those guys, you never question about their ability on the board. You never question their leadership ability,
right,
their work habits. They were outstanding in those areas. This guy's not outstanding in those areas.
It
showed up in the interview.
Well, that's the way he hit that last segment, the last part of it. See, that's the problem. Like, by saying it, he started off by he heard it, and then he closed it with being indignant and blunt and saying it like it's a fact. This guy don't have, he's not Mahomes, he's not Mayfield. So he took what he supposedly heard and just torched the kid. And I don't think that's right.
Well,
I can put a name on it.
Well, but hold on. But in his opinion, based on what he heard, that's the conclusion that he's drawing. It doesn't mean that that has to be the fact or the way that the story does play out.
He wasn't in the room.
But he's got. But Taz, there are guys. You don't have to be in the room. If you've been around the National Football League, there are guys that you wholeheartedly trust, the Casserly trust, that are doing the interview process that tell him something, and he says, basically,
yeah,
then it's
a
given fact. You know that.
Of course I understand. I understand that.
So, I mean, he's taking it where someone has told him something off the record. A team's not going to put their name on it, so they told him something off the record that he was not, you know, overwhelming and was not a good interview. It failed in these aspects. Same things you heard about Geno Smith, and you know, one thing I point out is last year people did question the leadership of Baker Mayfield. So to say that nobody questioned the leadership of Mayfield is not true, because there were a lot of people that said, I love the talent of Mayfield. I think he's the best downfield thrower.
Right,
but
right.
I have concerns about his attitude. I have concerns about what he is going to be if I bring him into my NFL city and be in the face of my franchise.
So now, him and Rosen that people were talking about last
correct.
Year. Right? Yeah, remember
right,
we were talking about that.
Right.
Yeah.
Rosen was about the commitment.
Right, it was about the commitment.
Right,
yeah,
and whether or not he loved football. And, you know, coming from a rich family, you know, how committed is Josh Rosen going to be? And we talked about that at the time.
Yes, yes.
Is that going to, you know, is that true or is that not true? Mm. Now, you know, listen to what Charlie Casserly has to say, and, you know, maybe what he's saying is true. I mean, you know, according to some teams that at least two teams that interviewed him, they looked at Kyler Murray and said that, you know, he's not all that. Now, you want to say, well, Casserly should have, before he goes on the air, maybe he should have talked to 6, 7, 8 of the 10 teams that talked to Kyler Murray and see exactly what they said instead of just the two teams or a couple teams that he chatted with.
Yeah, right. And also, a couple things. I do think, like I said a second ago, if you put a qualifier on it a little bit towards the end, Charlie Casserly, instead of coming off just so, like, just if this, let's say this was said behind the scenes about your kid or my kid, we'd both be pissed. I mean, the way he handled it, Casserly. Now, maybe it was also a situation, let's say Cassidy's telling the truth, and let's say these two teams that Cassidy's dialed into, whoever they are, these two mystery teams, did say this to him at separate conversations.
Well, I think they said it. I don't think Cassidy's going to go on the air, and I will say that. He's not going on the air unless that was told to him. He's not pulling stuff out of thin air.
I would strongly assume you're right. But stranger things have happened.
I get it.
Sometimes he's getting older, dude. He might be just trying to stay relevant and get and have this kind of a take where people talk. I'm just giving you my opinion.
Yeah, no, I get it.
But I understand. You're probably right.
I have a hard time envisioning that he's done too much in his career all of a sudden start to, I'm going to go
make
trash Kyler.
Right, right. I understand. So that leads into the next point I'm going to make. So maybe, again, I'll put a qualifier on my statement. It could be that Kyler Murray just rubbed them the wrong way in the meetings, these two teams, and these two teams felt like Murray didn't want no part of us, so maybe they feel like they don't have a shot at getting Kyler Murray anyway. I will say this about Kyler Murray, like I said on our show a couple days ago. I saw that presser over the weekend with Kyler Murray at the NFL Combine. And he did not come off like a warm and fuzzy kid. I know maybe I'm old school and I'm you know, and it's like not thanking all of the media at the end of the presser is not good when you're not even in the NFL yet, and when people are asking you questions and you can't hear them because the audio sucked and they didn't the media didn't have microphones, you go what? Huh? Say what? What? Come again? I mean, it's supposed to be, excuse me?
Right.
I just feel like...
He didn't come across well.
He just didn't. So I could see maybe him rubbing a team or two the wrong way in a meeting. I could see that. Just by the questions about the Cardinals that were asked by him, he almost made it like, yeah, Kingsbury's the man. He loves me. I love him. Paraphrasing here. And he acted like they don't have a quarterback. No, they got a guy who was a...
Right. We said that at the time with the Giants,
I'm just saying,
too.
So
right.
I think maybe as this kid evolves in the NFL, unless someone teaches him, like, how to speak to the media, he might be a guy
I don't think he's very humble.
Well, that's it. That's exactly it.
I don't think there's much humility to Kyler Murray. I think he's a very confident guy. He comes across that way, that basically when he walks in the room... And maybe the fact that he has to, you know, disprove a lot of the naysayers wrong based on his height, Taz, maybe that gives him an edge.
What a feeling.
You know, and certainly, we've seen that happen with other guys. I mean, Aaron Rodgers still carries a chip on his shoulder the way that he fell in the first round of the draft. And people said he couldn't do this, couldn't do that. And look at what Rodgers developed into, and he carries that chip on his shoulder. So maybe that's the case. Listen, the one thing I would say this is when I listen to Casserly's comments is – I don't think he's pulling stuff out of thin air.
I hope not.
I don't think he's doing that. I think he's done too much in his NFL career to say, all right, I'm going to besmirch the character of this guy. I'm going to knock Kyler Murray. He's got no skin in the game. It doesn't help, you know, Charlie Casserly to rip Kyler Murray in any way, shape, or form. I mean, for the NFL, they'd like Kyler Murray to be a huge story because I think he's a huge talking point, and they'd like it to continue to be a story. The one thing I would say about his comments is this, is that when you sit with an interview and people can rub you the wrong way and you want to say, all right, I draw up a play, Taz, on a board.
Right.
And I put up a defense. Tell me what the defense is going to do. Tell me how the play is going to run. What's the adjustment you make at the line of scrimmage? And we've seen guys struggle with that. So maybe he struggled at the board. Right.
Right.
And maybe he didn't come across as humble, although, you know, neither did Jameis Winston, and people said, well, he's an alpha male. So, I mean, that's the way it is. I mean, he's a leader of your organization. He's the leader of your franchise. So, I don't know, you know, guys in the National Football League, they do want these guys to be, you know, the quote-unquote alpha male when they walk in the room, Taz, and be right. The guy.
Yeah.
They don't necessarily,
yeah.
You know, Marcus Mariota was too humble coming out of Oregon.
Right.
He wasn't.
You don't want
have,
a passive guy.
Right,
no, you want
right.
a leader.
So,
right.
The one thing I would say is the work ethic. How do you know?
Right.
How do these two teams know about Kyler Murray's work ethic? Lincoln Riley has always talked as glowingly about Kyler Murray.
Yeah.
You know, we've heard
and
the
Stoops, Bob Stoops too.
Right. Sitting down with an Taz, if I sit down and I meet you for the first time and I just watched, you know, you just watched me play football during the course of the college football season, and you might have talked to my coaches, but I'm sitting with you for the first time.
Right, right.
And my coaches speak glowingly. You, from a 20-minute interview, you can't tell me what kind of work ethic I have.
No, you can't. You can't.
Work ethic is defined by what you do on the job. And if you're not on the job yet, so for a team to say his work ethic is poor, you can't say that because that would be the one thing I would say I have an issue with, because he doesn't have the job, number one. Number two is, you're not talking to guys in Oklahoma. You're talking about NFL teams, and they have not been around Kyler Murray on a day-in, day-out basis.
And to pile onto that fact, you're not talking about a guy who is just playing one sport. This guy played a Division I sport at the highest level, two sports, in baseball and football at OU, where the baseball program at OU, I mean, I haven't followed them, but I know several years ago they were a very strong program.
Yeah, pretty good.
So,
good team.
My point is, you're not a two-sport star. Without having a work ethic, you're not at 5'10", okay, excelling in baseball and football on a D1 level to the level he did without having a friggin' work ethic, okay? So, and I agree with what you're saying. And by the way, that whiteboard, dry erase board, whatever you want to call it, the stuff where they write up a play. Real quick, I told you I saw that thing on the NFL Network with Mariucci, and he had Dwayne Haskins in there, right?
Yeah.
And so he was talking about, a play from the Super Bowl with Jerry Rice and Joe Montana, and he named a play, meaning Mariucci. He went through the whole thing in the beginning of the interview. They had it on camera. And then he says at the end of it, he told this whole story about the play and what happened to safety and all this stuff. And then he says to Haskins, all right, go draw up the play. He gets the marker. He goes. He draws the whole play up, names the play, everything, like verbatim.
Yeah, it's awesome.
It was really impressive.
That's
so
awesome.
So if you're a Haskins fan, or let's say he goes to the Giants, and you're a Giants fan, go watch that, because this kid's got a brain, man.
Yeah,
I was like, wow.
Yeah, and I like
I can't believe it.
Yeah, I mean, that's
that was impressive.
Know, that
man.
Is impressive, especially when they – so they did it. Dude, so they drew the play up at the beginning, then erased the board, and then he said draw the play up.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember if Mariucci drew it. I think he did draw it, and then – he left it on there and then explained, but it was like, you know, Mariucci gets crazy.
And then
crazy.
They erased it, and then he said,
I don't remember if they erased it, but I know Haskins basically, now he didn't know he was going to do this. Haskins just basically, he said to Haskins, all right, so tell me the play. What's the name of the play and what happened? He said, okay, and he just explained everything. Who was on what route? It was really, really funny.
Well,
it was cool. It was very cool.
Yeah, and that's what teams want. They want to make sure that you can remember things. They want to make sure that you can easily get it. That's why they have those dopey tests in terms of deciphering information.
Yeah,
I imagine I didn't see it, but I would think if he's asking him to draw it up again, he probably erased it or put it up on another board.
Talking about Steve Atwater on the play. That's great. It was really good.
The other thing I would say is this, Taz, is that also, just like we discussed earlier in the week with Arizona's supposedly overwhelming interest in Kyler Murray, you got to also be careful what gets thrown out there, because there are teams, as you mentioned, as we've talked about, there are teams that are going to throw information out there about players to try and get that player where they're drafting.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, you look at the report by Charlie Casserly and what he had to say. The reason why it's out there, now, there might be a reason why these two teams put this information out there, because they don't want Kyler Murray going number one overall. They would like to see Kyler Murray get drafted. Because the 10 teams that interviewed him in Indianapolis, you know, obviously they're looking for a young quarterback either A, to develop or to take over their franchise maybe year one or year two. You know, so you got to also be careful of the information that comes out, because everybody, when putting that info out there, it always comes with a purpose and a reason.
As an agenda.
Yes.
Okay, and to the point you're making, and for those that think the NFL is a clean and fun game, like behind the scenes, the business of it, because you're exactly right what you just said. By the way, Our research team, led by Mikey B, just let me know that what Mariucci does, he flips, and when he said it, I remember.
Flips the board.
He flips the board. So that's gotcha. It. Flip the board. Flip it. Flip it. Flip the board.
Yeah, so you're right. I mean, everything's got a purpose.
Flip it. That's
when you're looking at a big money business and you find a player and you want that player, you might send out the, you know, because you see it all the time.
It gets dirty, man. Gets dirty.
Yeah, it gets dirty. Because how many times you see it? Oh, this guy, they're in love with this guy. They're in love with this guy. They're in love with this guy. And all of a sudden they're drafting somebody else. I mean, that's what it comes down to.
Yeah.
So you got to also be careful what gets put out there. But we'll see what Murray does eventually at his pro day out there in Oklahoma. I want to hear from you. Do you have an issue with what Cassidy had to say on the NFL Network in tearing down Kyler Murray? Bad work habits, bad work ethic, bad board work, bad leadership, bad. For
bad.
A guy that had over 5,000 yards of offense and like 55 touchdowns last year for Oklahoma.
He's lazy, Moose.
Right, exactly. Right.
He's lazy.
He's a first-round pick by the A's in baseball.
Guy gave away $4 million.
Right, to pursue the NFL.
Right. He's lazy.
855-212-4227. It's Taz. It's Moose. It's a Wednesday morning. CBS Sports Radio.
Listen to CBS Sports Radio anywhere you take your smartphone with the radio.com app. Free in the Google Play and iTunes App Store. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. Give Taz and the Moose a call, 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227.
Yeah, it's pretty well documented. I dabble in cigars here and there.
Yeah.
I don't want to get blamed for this stuff that's on the floor, because it looks like cigar ashes in a lot of it. It's not cigar ashes.
Dirty. It's packaging from like a book, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's... That was here, I don't know, that happened on Amy Lawrence's show? Or was it, we don't know what happened, right?
No, it happened during After Hours.
Oh. It happened during Amy's show.
Trash.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I didn't, okay. So
how'd she open up the book, by the way?
She have like a
jackhammer?
She have a hatchet?
Yeah. I don't know, she came out of the studio and she said, do not go in there, which normally is like a I pass gas kind of thing.
Well, you hear that a lot from a lot of hosts here.
Right, so Mike and I looked at each other and like, okay, and then she explained that she was opening up this box and it exploded and left shrapnel everywhere.
What was in the box?
A head.
Yes.
Okay, got it.
A human head.
Wow, yeah, so...
It's not as... She made it out to be worse. She's like, be careful of the asbestos. Number one, it's not asbestos.
It looks like...
Well, that was a joke.
Does anybody have
but she said it five times when I first walked into the studio.
Does anybody have a dustbuster?
No.
So we need, you know, one of those things.
We're okay. It's fine.
Oh, no, I'm fine. You're fine, too. It's a little close to me. I just don't want any heat. I don't want it to be, oh,
it's not going to be
smoking cigars again.
Oh, no. Bogus will set it straight.
Oh, yeah, he always does. Yeah, he always does. He fixes it.
I've always got your back.
If someone mistakenly says it's us, Bogus will set it right.
Yeah. Come in here.
You're going to clean that up?
Get a vacuum. They bring a vacuum. I'll do it.
You wouldn't do it. You'd watch somebody do it.
Which would be me.
I would probably watch
Biseglia do it.
And yell at him.
You missed the spot! Biseglia was like, oh, I'm going to go to engineering and see if they have a vacuum. And we're like, yeah, it's a good idea.
Oh, yeah, it's a lot
Biseglia
of stuff.
No, it's fine.
It is fun. It is fun.
It doesn't affect us.
No. Well, a lot of times when I'm broadcasting, I like to look at
the floor. Don't understand how you open up a package and it explodes like that.
Well, I mean, I guess it depends on. It's a really
like,
good question.
I don't understand. Like, how
do you open up, just shake it on the floor?
Well, I mean, because that is clearly from. It was a box or an envelope.
It's a box.
It was a box. The box is not stuffed with that stuff. That looks like there was.
She had it in a pocket.
No,
on the floor?
You know what it was. You know how you can get a padded envelope,
yes.
And there's two different ways. It's either one bubble or one. It's filled with this crap. You have, this is one where it's like, instead of opening it where it says tear here,
right.
It's like you tore just it in the middle of the package,
yeah.
And then it just like, falls all over the place. You're a pig.
Wow.
Whoa.
Kind of want to find I want to find the package.
No, honestly.
Then it got real.
But here's the other thing. I am a big proponent.
Doesn't bother me.
Pig. But if I make a mess, I'm cleaning it up.
Wow.
Taz, we talk about it all the time. There are people that leave cups here, spoons.
Oh, no.
They leave notes.
It's unprofessional.
They leave stuff.
I got guys left trash, leftover food.
Very smelly box.
You walk in here. Yeah. I'm not calling. I'm just saying, if you
We're not saying it's Amy doing that, but
if you make a mess.
A guy left a sock on the floor next to my area here. Had a guy with his list for the food. I got to get applesauce. My wife said get eggs. A list.
Right, coffee cups. I've sat in this spot. There's been food on the floor. Like, here's the deal. Like, if you make a mess, clean up after yourself. What are we, five?
Yeah, I know. What's this? I'm walking through the New York City subway system. What is it going to be?
I hate when people leave messes. Yeah, I really do.
We're very clean here.
We are.
Okay, that's how we work. We work very clean. And look, we love Amy. It's nothing against Amy.
Well, the first thing you tell Pasaglia is his first thing he has to do every morning is bring in the trash can for you.
Well, because we want to keep it clean.
Good morning, gentlemen.
That's how we do it here.
And then if he doesn't bring in the trash can, you're like, Mike, where's my garbage can?
That's like a 98.6%
Right. Mike's day has to start out with him getting the trash bin for Taz.
God forbid it doesn't.
So right.
Their burner accounts
then
are starting
me,
right
and
now.
I go, Mike, I'm good. I can handle my own trash.
Yeah, college loan really paying
off. I appreciate
off.
That.
College degree. Syracuse degree is really doing well.
Right.
Yeah, Mike forgets a garbage can, and Taz sounds like Charlie Casserly taking Mikey down.
Right. He's lazy. Poor board work.
Well, the thing,
no
too,
work
is
ethic.
No work ethic whatsoever.
Amy hates the garbage, so if I bring it in early, it's a problem. So there's a sweet spot time.
There's no early. We have 90 seconds to get set up for our show after Amy's done.
Yeah.
That's true.
There was one time she thought I brought it in early, but it had been there the whole time.
It's like a
then
fire
I got an earful. I'm like, it's been here for 4 hours.
And so did you? She kind of got upset with you?
Yeah.
You kind of have that face, Mike, where hosts like to yell at you. So
and wives.
I've been
friends.
Trying over a year to get Moose to yell at you. He just won't do it.
No, so I'm not going to yell. I'm not going to yell at Mike. I'll set. Damn. I don't need to yell to get my point across.
Yeah, me neither.
That's not true.
Hello.
That's not true. You get angry.
You get in a bad mood.
The point being, here's the thing. If you make a mess, clean up after yourself.
No, you're right though.
Don't be like, hey, listen, avoid the trash on the floor. Good luck with that.
Yeah.
Go on your merry way.
But what do you expect? She don't have, like, she's not wearing a vacuum cleaner and a pocketbook.
There's a way you can make that look a little bit. You
a
can
little
do
better?
Something.
You think so?
Yes, you could do something.
You need, like, yeah, it's a lot.
It's a lot of it. It's all over the place.
I just got these new sneakers.
You mean to
too.
Tell me there's not a broom in this entire building?
Look around. Probably not.
There's a broom. Go to the engineering office. There's a broom. I could find, if I wanted to find a broom, I could find a broom. Is that correct, Bilotti?
Yeah. He's on the phone with engineering now to find a broom.
Yes, thank you. All right, Bogus, go ahead.
Guys, the lesson from last night in the NBA. Apparently this, if you're having troubles with your spouse, friend, a coworker, hop on a cross-country flight with them and things will be great when you land.
Smart. Right-hand dribble. Behind the back. Bounce pass to Gordon Hayward, who crept in along the baseline. Marcus Smart found him for the easy two, and the Celtics lead by 22.
Sean Grandy, Cedric Maxwell on Celtics Radio. Boston led by 22 in the second quarter. They won by 33, 128-95 over the Warriors in Oakland. Gordon Hayward finished with 30 points off the bench. Kyrie Irving had 19 with 11 assists. Then said the long plane ride from Boston to Oakland helped the team work through some of its issues. As for the Warriors, Steve Kerr's team has now 5 20-point home losses.
If I could explain it, I would explain it to our team, and then maybe we would do better. But it's happened over and over again in pretty dramatic fashion. So I have no answer to that.
The Warriors now a game and a half ahead of the Nuggets for the top spot in the West. Houston stayed hot with a 107-95 win in Toronto. James Harden scored 19 of his 35 in the fourth to push their win streak to 6. A career-high 40 points from Mike Conley as the Grizzlies down the Blazers 120-111. The T-Wolves outscored the Thunder 131-120. 41 points and 14 boards from Karl-Anthony Towns. And the Sixers beat the Magic 114-106. J.J. Redick had 26 on 6 threes. College Hoops, third-ranked North Carolina, a 79-66 win at BC. Luke May, 17 points and 20 boards. Number 4, Duke, sidestepped Wake Forest, 71-70, with Zion Williamson missing another game. 5th-ranked Tennessee down Mississippi State, 71-54. And number 9, Michigan State beat Nebraska, 91-76. Kansas taking an 81-68 loss at Oklahoma, assuring that someone other than the Jayhawks will win the Big 12 for the first time since 2004. K-State and Texas Tech are tied for first right now, heading to the final weekend of the regular season. The NFL Network says the Jets joined the Antonio Brown talks, recently placing a call to Pittsburgh. The Raiders, still apparently the strongest in pursuit of the wide receiver.
Call me Mr. Big Jets.
Dustin Pedroia expected to make his spring training debut tomorrow against the Twins. The former All-Star second baseman played just three Red Sox games last season after October 2017 knee surgery. And finally, hockey, the Bruins and Hurricanes in overtime in Boston.
DeBrusk steals from Falk. DeBrusk spins in middle. Krejci scores! The Bruins come from two down. Fend off Carolina and strip the Whale of its blubber. Burn him!
Jack Edwards on Nesson, the blubber reference.
He had to go. He wrote that in his hotel earlier in the day. Like, I gotta, get this line in.
Well, the Hurricanes were wearing Whaler throwbacks last night,
which is awesome.
In Boston.
Yeah, that definitely is awesome. The green and blue Jones.
Hence the blubber reference. The Bruins win the game 4-3. They're on a 17-game point streak, guys.
Yeah. Nice.
Thanks, pal.
Thank you, Andrew. Appreciate it. 855-212-4227, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line. Brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com. 15 minutes. You can save 15% or more on car insurance.
Almost, we'll talk a lot in the first segment about Charlie Casserly and kind of the report he gave, for lack of better terms, about Kyler Murray and stuff he heard from two NFL teams. Let's hit the phone lines. Go out to New Jersey. John's listening on radio.com. Hey, Big John, you're on with Taz the Moose. What's up, man?
Hey, guys. Good morning. How are you?
What's up, Johnny?
What's up?
I have a big problem with what Casserly said. And, I mean, let me say, I have no dog in the fight. I'm not an Oklahoma fan, nor am I a Kyler Murray fan. But, I mean, here you have Charlie Casserly. It's one thing for a so-called analyst to come out and criticize a player's performance on the field.
Right.
But here he is taking anecdotal stories from a couple of anonymous teams and basically questioning this kid's character and his intelligence.
Yeah, I agree. You're right.
I mean, I just think that's disgraceful. Here's Charlie Casserly. While I'm sitting on hold with you, I Googled Charlie Casserly draft busts. My phone exploded. Charlie Casserly, the same guy that said Todd Bowles would be a good coach for the Jets.
Well, right. No, but hold on a second. But no one's – you can look at him as an executive. You can look at him as a decision. You know, it's not his fault the Jets brought him in to help lead the coaching search. And he talked about Todd Bowles. Now, but – yeah, he hears from two teams that sat down and chatted with Kyler Murray, and they both destroyed him. What is he supposed to do then? Do nothing with it?
Okay, but you also know that, like, I forget if you brought it up or Taz brought it up before, that teams now are constantly putting out misinformation for whatever it is.
Right.
And you're questioning the kid's character. You know, look, it's, like I said, it's different. Do you want to break it down that the kid doesn't have the arm, he doesn't have the height, whatever it may be? But, I mean, to knock someone's character to me is a heck of a lot more.
For something that's hearsay, too, John, to your point.
Exactly.
For something that's hearsay, right.
And then no one's putting their name to it. If you want to say, hey, the Oakland Raiders came out and said da-da-da-da-da,
right.
That's fine. But to just say it that way, it just leaves a really bad taste in my mouth. And for someone, again, I really don't care about Kyler Murray.
Right.
It doesn't affect me. But when I first heard it, I'm like, what a douche.
Yeah, Lucy Jones.
You know what? It's interesting, John. Yeah, it doesn't. I know, and it bothers Taz. It bothers you. It didn't really bother me. I mean, listen, maybe I'm wrong, but I look at this scenario where Casserly gets information from guys that he trusts that were in the room with Kyler Murray. Now, I did have an issue with him talking about his work ethic, but if a team does the similar example that Taz brought up that Mariucci did with Dwayne Haskins. And Kyler Murray is terrible on the board drawing up plays. And someone tells him that, what is Casserly then supposed to do? Say everything's A-okay, everything went brilliantly, Kyler Murray impressed all teams out in Indianapolis when he didn't? Now, you want to say that it's not his job to draw the comparison to Baker Mayfield or quarterbacks in the past? That's fine. I mean, you could say that. Well, you could do that. But he's just telling you stuff that he has heard that other teams have, and he's not making it up.
But, Moose, so let me ask you this. So let's say you're right and your instincts are right and Casserly did not make it up and he did get this. Because I think you're probably right, and he probably got some sort of information from one or two teams. Okay. Couple things here. Do you think that there's a chance that maybe, just maybe, the way his delivery was on it, Casserly, on television, how aggressive and indignant he was about it and how he made it like for fact. And he did it in a hot take form.
Yeah.
Do you think that he did that to create controversy about himself, about Charlie Casterly, about Charlie Casterly? I mean, really, do you think that's, I
could see that.
Okay, me too. I could see that too. That, I think that's part of it. And
well, he almost seemed gleeful.
Good point. Right, you're right. He did.
He almost seemed like at the end when he's drawing the comparisons, like, what are you guys, morons? I mean, he almost like you can't even compare Kyler Murray to Baker Mayfield.
Right.
I mean,
he's not Pat Mahomes. He's not Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, right. That's the other quarterback he brought up. So he almost seemed gleeful. His delivery, I agree with you, was not great.
So I think that's one of the things that pissed people off. And the other thing is that it's anonymous. You're not in a room, but you make valid points. Not that you are buddies with Charlie Casterly, but I get you're taking another side of it. It's your side you feel, and I respect that. I'm just saying, I do think his delivery was a big part of it, and his delivery, he did it as an entertainer. And that's what we are. At the end of the day, you're an entertainer. You're a broadcaster. You're on TV. I get that. You get that. We kind of do that at times. We have to.
Right. If he delivered it in a little bit more of a dry way.
Correct.
And just reported, this is what I'm hearing. Kyler Murray didn't impress teams with his board work. Right. Work ethic, leadership, this is what I'm hearing coming out of Indianapolis. Then I think maybe it doesn't, obviously, it's going to grab headlines because it's Murray, but it's probably not going to grab some of the vitriol or anger toward Casterly. No, that's fair.
That's correct.
That's fair. But I don't think, like I mentioned before, I do think he's got no dog in the fight. He's not there to rip Kyler Murray down. He's not representing Dwayne Haskins. So his job there is, he was told something, he reported it. Maybe he didn't come across the greatest way in reporting those stories.
He's been on TV enough, and he's been at a super high level in the NFL.
Yeah.
I mean, gee whiz, he's old enough to be Murray's grandfather. Okay,
that's
the other thing. To go out there and talk, it's beyond a get-off-my-lawn mentality. I mean, he's ripping a kid that's so much younger than him. I understand.
Well, he's been positive about guys too.
He was positive about Mayfield. It's not just the old man on the lawn, right? You know what I mean? But it can't just by him being so the way. I mean, the word that just
well, it came across like he did have a dog in the fight.
Right. That right. Exactly. Like he's buddies with the Oakland A's.
It almost came across like he was stating that with a purpose,
right,
with a reason.
Right. Right. Exactly.
Right. So and I can hear that. I can hear that. And so I can understand that. But, I mean, Kyler Murray's got time to prove a lot of the, at least two teams and some of these naysayers wrong in terms of, what he's got to do moving forward here, Taz. And if he's got some convincing to do, he's got some convincing to do.
Yeah.
It's going to lead to a very, very intriguing draft process, which has just begun.
Yeah, this type of stuff has just begun, for sure. I totally agree with that.
855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227 are the Giants making a monster mistake. We'll get into that next. It's Taz, it's Moose. It's a Wednesday morning. It's CBS Sports Radio.
Give Taz and the Moose a call. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. And the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
Oh, excuse me. I'm trying to mic move stuff around.
Yeah, part of it. Yeah, well, he was vacuuming. This is a video that's going to go up on the IG at Taz and the Moose on Instagram. We're going to put a video up there of the mess is clean, Moose. Look at how beautiful.
See, that's what I mean.
Beautiful.
If you had a purpose in the old, if you could have, and teach his own. I live. You got three boys at home. Nobody cleans up after themselves.
Plenty of Cheerios on your floor.
Correct. and now the big thing that my kids like to do is they like to take the dry cereal, and when they're done, they spill a couple on the floor, and then they stomp on it.
Oh, that's lovely. That's nice. Oh, man.
And they like to play a game.
Yeah.
Which bothers the hell out of
my wife. Man, I could see that bothering my wife when my son was young. See, when my son was your son's age, your kid's age, I was on the road. I was gone.
Yeah, you were.
I was on the road wrestling. Right. So I would get a lot of the phone calls
about
the terror.
Yes,
yeah.
No.
You know, so when you're little that age, I was gone. I was like, God bless her heart. She's, this is tough for her, man. You know, but
right, because we had dude, it's hard. I give my wife a lot.
Yeah, it's tough.
It's
man.
It's just tough. It's very, very hard.
Anyone with young kids. It's hard,
I mean, it's hard. It's hard because they're going to test your patience.
Yes.
Oh. On a day in, day out basis.
And I got news for you. They're going to test them as they get older, too.
Yes.
Time right now to ask the pros. Were you the listener? Get to ask us a question brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Go to cbssportsradio.com/askthepros. Submit your question. Be listening later on the show. We might answer your question. Trust the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts to help you choose the brakes that are exact fit for your vehicle with brands you trust like Brake Best, Brake Best Select, Wagner Thermo Quiet, O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
Hope we get a good question. You know, hope we get a good question.
Right? Yeah.
We usually get really good questions. People from all over the country ask us really good questions on this. I'm looking forward to a good one. Mike, you're going to have the team go through these questions? Do you have the team that goes through them all? Or you look at them? Or
actually, there's no team that's for this, to be honest.
This is the producer.
This one's just me. No team for this.
Mikey B.
Mike makes the decision.
Solo Jones. Wow. Look at that.
Crazy.
Nah. You, that and vacuuming is your key right there.
Go to cbssportsradio.com/askthepros. Speaking of, as we've discussed a lot about Kyler Murray and the scouting combine in Indianapolis, the 4 o'clock deadline yesterday for tagging, franchise tagging players in the National Football League came and went. Six guys were tagged. We went through a number of them yesterday during the course of the program. One that was not Taz, which we hit upon a little bit, was Landon Collins.
Yes.
The star safety with the New York Giants. Former Alabama Crimson Tide star, 4-year pro, 3-time Pro Bowler. Only player since 15 to have over 400 tackles and 30 passes defended during the course of his 4 years in the National Football League. And a lot of people are saying, well, what the hell? I mean, what are you doing here? Now, the tag would have been for $11.15 million. Reportedly, they were trying to work out a contract at 5 years and around $12 million per year on average, around $60 million. They could not come to an agreement. Now, Collins, I guess, let the Giants know that if they tagged him, he was not going to sign the franchise tag.
Right.
That he was not going to play under the one-year thing, that it was going to be a contract dispute and a holdout, and he might not play football in 2019. And they decided not to tag him altogether. So now he is free to sign when the league new year begins next week. He's free to sign wherever the hell he wants, and the Giants will only get a compensatory pick.
He's going to get signed real quick. We all know that. And he took the Twitter, and he basically thanked the Giants. I want to thank the Giants organization for believing in me and allowing me 4 great years in New York. I can't express how great it was to play with my teammates in one of the greatest cities in the world. I will forever cherish my time in the blue and white. And the relationships I have built in the building, in my community, now on to the next chapter. So, and he put a bunch of photos up there of him in the Giants uniform, you know, during his time playing for the Giants. Kind of sad, kind of a rough thing if you're a Giants fan. I'm not a Giants fan, but I've always liked Landon Collins. So, you know, I think this is tough. This is tough goings here right here that you're losing this guy.
Well, you're surprised by it, but here's the deal. I look at what's the game plan here for Gettleman.
Right. Well,
exactly. What are you trying to do? Eli reportedly is coming back next year. You're probably going to get rid of Olivier Vernon for money as well, right? And save a little bit of salary cap. You're not re-signing Landon Collins, Taz. Where exactly is this team going to be next year?
You got Eli's, what is he, 38, 39, whatever,
yeah,
38 years old?
He's in his mid to late
30s. Something like $23 million, $22 million against the salary cap and
right,
his money.
Right, but he's coming. But Taz, he's how do you back. Expect right, to win without players?
You're going to put it all on a running back?
Right.
Is that what you're doing on Barkley? Right. I mean, well, what are you doing?
I don't. And here's the other thing is if, as an organization, Taz, last year at the trade deadline, there were teams that called the Giants about Landon Collins. If you as an organization didn't deem him to be worth the $11.15 million or the $12 million a year, why wouldn't you have traded him?
Yeah, I know. I was just reading this in the New York Times during the break. The only as far as the Giants, the only player left from the 2014 draft in the class is Odell Beckham Jr. No player selected in 2013, still with the Giants, with the team, and the only two from 2016 in Giants uniform. That's crazy.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it really is.
Reese was terrible.
Yeah.
He was not a good general manager, and the scouting department for the Giants didn't do a good job. But it's interesting. There's a lot of safeties out there. Eric Weddle got let go by the Baltimore Ravens. Yeah. Earl Thomas is out there. Yeah. LaMarcus Joyner's out. I mean, and now you throw Landon Collins. So if you're looking for a safety, and then Tyrann Mathieu as well.
Go to Buffalo. Beautiful weather.
If you're looking for a safety in free agency, there's a lot of safeties to fill a need. This year in NFL free agency. It's Taz, it's Moose. Bryce Harper still making news off the diamond. We'll get into that next. CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.